I'm going to try to tie together all three of these readings here. I want to start with the gospel. As I think I mentioned to this mass crowd earlier, maybe it wasn't this mass crowd, maybe it was the 11:30 mass crowd a few weeks ago, but ordinarily we're in year B. The Sunday lectionary is on a three-year cycle, and A is Matthew, and B is Mark, and Luke is year C, and John kind of gets interspersed sometimes, but we have these five consecutive weeks where we take a break from the Gospel of Mark, where we otherwise would be during year B, and we focus those 5 weeks on this one chapter from St. John's Gospel, chapter 6, which has some of the strongest, probably the strongest language in the entire scriptures that defend the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And again, there are parts throughout scripture, there are lots of things throughout scripture that talk about our Lord's real presence in the Eucharist, but this is probably the strongest. That gospel that we just heard proclaimed, our Lord says a few things that makes it very clear that he is not speaking metaphorically or analogously or in any other kind of way. He makes it very clear. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Then he goes on, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Again, some of the strongest language we see defending the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. And I want to take this a step further because sometimes people might ask, okay, well, our Lord is speaking literally here, but if we can assent to that, if we can at least assent to that much that, you know, sometimes our Lord, of course, does speak metaphorically and analogously, and those are called parables and other times. But seeing that our Lord is being quite serious here, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. And that's pretty clear. But to take this a step further, how could our Lord put some kind of requirement on us having life within us, unless it were possible for us to do so, right? If our Lord is saying you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood to have life within you, well, then there must be a way for us to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. Even to this day, 2,000 years after these words were spoken, right? And that's precisely what the holy sacrifice of the Mass is, in which our Lord sacramentally represents the very paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection, and gives us in the Eucharist his glorified body and blood, right? Let's look at the first reading, because in that first reading from the book of Proverbs describes in this particular chapter two ladies. They've kind of personified these two ideals, wisdom and later on in this chapter, folly. Talk about Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And this particular passage that we heard talks about Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom says, whoever is simple, turn in here. Turn into to my house that I have prepared. Turn into the meal that I have prepared. Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine that I mixed. Forsake foolishness. Forsake Lady Folly, that you may live. This is exactly what our Lord was just saying. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. But let's say something about wisdom here, because a certain earthly wisdom would say that the Eucharist is most definitely not the body and blood of Jesus Christ. How could we possibly claim that the Eucharist is truly human flesh and blood, namely the human flesh and blood of this guy, Jesus Christ, who lived 2,000 years ago? Earthly wisdom would say that's impossible, right? It doesn't look like flesh and blood. It doesn't appear to any of our senses as flesh and blood. If you scientifically analyze it under a microscope, it still appears to be bread and wine. And that's an earthly wisdom, right, that says let's just look at that which can be evaluated. Let's look at that which can be empirically proved and forsake all others. That's a certain earthly wisdom. True wisdom, Lady Wisdom here speaking to us in the book of Proverbs, says, whoever is simple, turn and hear. What she's getting at is that there needs to be a certain simplicity in our faith at simply taking the Lord on his own authority. If the Lord says, this is my flesh and this is my blood, who are we? Who are we? What arrogance must we have to say, well, you know, he must have been speaking analogously or metaphorically. Certainly he can't be speaking seriously. Really? We're going to trump our Lord's authority? If we are simple, as we are called to be, if we are childlike, as we're called to be, in our approach to the faith, if we're willing to accept the Lord on his word and on his own authority and say, you know what, I don't understand it, but I don't have to. My senses and the best science doesn't believe it, but I'm going to have that trust in the Lord. I'm going to have a true wisdom that relies on our Lord's authority, sometimes over and against what my senses say to me, right? Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I've mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Forsake foolishness. Let's look at that second reading. What did St. Paul say in his letter to the Ephesians? Right in the beginning. Watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise. St. Paul is saying the same thing. Don't live on your own authority. Don't build up your own earthly wisdom and think that you have all the answers, St. Paul is saying. Do not live as foolish persons, but as wise persons. And again, that true wisdom tells us, especially when it comes to things difficult to believe, like the Eucharist, and of course the Eucharist is difficult to believe because it appears to our senses as not what our faith tells us it is. But if we have that true wisdom, if we're willing to accept the Lord on his own authority, if we're willing to not make excuses to try to understand something and say, well, he must have, you know, no, our Lord is very clear in this gospel exactly who and what the Eucharist is. I want to wrap up, though, with coming back to the gospel, because the impression that we could get is almost a certain magical sense here, because our Lord is saying, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him on the last day. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. We could look at that and say, well, maybe I just, you know, maybe all I need to do is just receive the Eucharist, right? If I want to go to heaven, I just have to go to Mass every Sunday and receive the Eucharist, and check, I've done what the Lord has said, right? Our Lord's saying here that the Eucharist, although it is absolutely his flesh and blood, it's not magic either. And we can't approach the Eucharist as simply, this is all I need to do. I just need to receive Holy Communion each week. We could go on a whole discourse here that we won't on receiving communion worthily. You know, St. Paul tells us elsewhere that those who receive the body and blood of our Lord unworthily receive it to their own condemnation. And we know that a true communion comes about in Holy Communion when we are already in a certain state of grace. You know, the reception of Holy Communion forgives any venial sin, because venial sin does not destroy the life of the Trinity in us. Mortal sin does. And if we're in a state of mortal sin and we go up and receive communion, have we eaten the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Have we received Holy Communion? No. To receive Holy Communion is not just to eat the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. It is to eat the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ in that state of grace, already in a certain pre-existing communion with our Lord through baptism and reconformed every time we go to confession, right? So our Lord is telling us here, it's not just that you need to receive Holy Communion. You need to live that life of grace. You need to live that life of holiness in which the Blessed Trinity resides in us through grace. And whenever we kick him out through mortal sin, we need to go to confession and have him come back into our souls, so that when we do come forward and receive communion, we are not receiving unworthily to our own condemnation, as Paul warns us. So brothers and sisters, today, let us look at our own approach to Holy Communion. do we subscribe to the wisdom of the world, which says, you know, it's a nice analogy of the Last Supper, it's a nice memorial of the Last Supper, but it's not really his flesh and blood, because after all, how could God do that? You know, why would God do that? How could he do that? Or do we subscribe to true wisdom, which says, I'm going to approach the Lord as a child, and if the Lord says that it's his flesh and blood, I'm going to assent to that, even though I don't get it. Today, let's ask ourselves, do we subscribe to the true wisdom or to that earthly wisdom? And are we willing to accept the Lord on his own word that my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink, and unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you.